This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. This message, entitled Grace Part 3, was delivered on April 14, 2019. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Thank you, Diane. Where does it say that in the Bible? Somebody tell me. Somebody tell me. Yeah, John 15. Greater love is this, that no man lay down his life for his friend. And we are Jesus' friends. Amen. Palm Sunday. Good morning, New Hope. You can imagine, like, thousands of years ago, Jesus told his disciples, go into town, go to this place, you're going to see this donkey, go grab this donkey, right? And it's like nowadays, go down to KTA, go see this car, go grab this car, tell them your master is in need of it. You're kidding me, are they going to arrest me? But his disciples went, and they was untying the donkey, and sure enough, the guy said, what you going to do with this? Oh, the master is in need of it. Said, okay, shoot, take him. And he marched into town riding on this donkey. They put garments on the ground. They put leaves of branches on the ground. That's why it's called Palm Sunday. And they were saying, Hosanna in the highest. They was praising him. Friday. And then come the following week, I don't know what happened, but they're yelling, crucify him. Crucify him. It's like, wow. What happened in that week, yeah? How did they get so turned around? Man, I was just thinking about that. It's like, wow. You know, grace, we're continuing to talk about grace. And so important is grace that, you know, almost every New Testament letter, including Revelation, begins and ends with the writer praying for us that grace be with us, the people who are reading it. The writer reminds us that our salvation, your salvation, my salvation is by grace alone. And they encourage us that we will stand fast in the blessings of grace. And these writers who wrote these words, they knew that one of the hardest things for us as human beings to do was just that. Realize that our salvation is by grace alone. We have an automatic inclination to kind of disregard grace and try put our own merit in its place. Thereby, we kind of undercut the understanding, the enjoyment of salvation and its benefits. So I got to ask us this question. If you only had 1 month to live, how would you prepare yourself to meet the Lord during that month? Would you pray harder? I would. Would you memorize more scripture? I would. Would you read your Bible more? I would. Would you involve yourself in more spiritual works? Yes, of course I would. Would you give more money and get your tithes up to date? Well, I think mines are up to date, so I'm okay on that. That's like the only one I might be up to date on. Would we witness to everyone you see? Well, I try to. Would you repent of every bad habit and sin that you could think of? Yes, I just gotta stop driving. You know what? In order for me to stop sinning while in a car, you would probably have to throw me in the trunk so I do not see what's going on. Hey, okay, true story. Not to get off the subject, but Wednesday morning, I take some of the young boys. We go do devotions at Blaine's in Orchidland. Come out of Orchidland Drive. Boom. Stop. It's like, wow, the traffic is really bad today. And we're rolling. I'm rolling in second gear. And you know how slow that is. We're rolling. And we're rolling and we're rolling. One by one, the cars start turning off because they're going to the side streets to try and get ahead. And after like 4 or 5 cars turn off, there's nobody in front of them. Well, what were you doing? You don't know what the gas pedal is there for? And I was thinking, like, and you can ask the kids. They was like, oh, they must think, oh, uncle is crazy when he drives. And I was thinking, like, what? There was no traffic. They just was driving slow. And I was like, wow, okay. But yeah, I was like, so yeah, that's the thing. Would you repent of all your bad habits? Yes, somebody would have to throw me in the truck. So if your answer was yes to any of these questions, man, we are performance-based Christians who are trying to gain God's favor. I'm in that boat. All these things are great things to do. Pray more, read more, learn more scriptures, serve more. That's great things. But there's always that but, yeah? You know in the Bible when you read it and it says, but, you know something's coming up. But these are all good things, but it's not what God expects from us to gain his favor. How many of you think, oh, Pastor Scott, he must have more favor from God than I do. No, I don't. There is no amount of work that we can do to earn any more of God's favor. His favor has already been granted to you through his grace, which is a free gift, when we accept Jesus Christ. My question is, are you living by grace or are you living by performance? Whew. Ouch, when I read this, when I was studying this, like, ouch. Wow. Okay. No matter how much I preach, how much I do Bible studies, how much I do devotions, how much scriptures I remember, how much more I pray, I cannot earn any more of God's grace because it was given to me the moment I said yes to Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, grace. Man, I want this grace. How do I get grace? I got candy. Anybody like candy? Anybody like M&M's? Catch. Anybody else? Anybody else like candy? Who else like candy? Who else like candy? Yeah. You see? Oh, mama right there. Oh, Uncle Ray. Okay, you see that? All you had to do was say, yeah, I want. Okay? So how do I get grace? Number one, you got to be a willing recipient. Yes, Jesus, I want you in my life. It's just that it's easy. I say, yeah, I like one candy. That's it. Once you say yes to Jesus, you get his grace. Same amount as I get, you get. I don't get any more because I stand up here. I don't get any more because I'm married to a pretty wife. I get the same amount of grace from God as you do when you say yes to him. You don't have to be perfect to receive God's grace. Only willing. That's why when we do a salvation prayer and you say yes, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. That's the decision between you and God. You receive his grace. And then we do baptism. Why? Because it's a public declaration of your faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we do baptism out in public. So the world can see, like, wow, that guy's getting baptized. He's a Christian. That lady's being baptized. She's a Christian. It shows that you're not ashamed to be called a Christian. So, I mean, you don't have to be good and perfect to receive God's grace. You know, some guys think, oh, I gotta get my life going so I can come to church. Come on. I mean, you don't go lift weights and everything and then go to the gym. Unless you're trying for show off. Huh? Yeah? Trying for attract somebody? And I tell you what, you like somebody, you come to church and you find them in church. Amen? So you just gotta be willing. Salvation is God's business. Grace is God's idea. His work and his expense. God's grace is more powerful than sin. Hebrews 4:16. How many of you brought your Bibles? Yeah, well, I should have gave you the guys with the Bibles their candy, yeah? How many of you got your iPhones? Your iPads? Yeah? Right. Hebrews. Hebrews. Hebrews is in the back by James, right before James. Hebrews 4, chapter 4. I race you there. Anybody beat me there? Oh, great. Let me catch you after service. I give you some M&Ms. Hebrews 4, 16. Okay. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, when we pray, that's our approach to God. And the James tells us, you know, we got to come boldly, with confidence, not arrogantly or flippantly, like, you know, that's only God I'm talking to, but we got to come with humility, but with reverence and also confidence. Because of what Jesus did, we can do that because of God's grace. We cannot, oh God, but please, maybe, you know, it's like, man, we got to, with confidence, like, God, please heal me. Please bring the sun out today because I need to cut my grass. Or, Lord, please bring me water for my water tank because, man, water is life and I need water in my water tank. We cannot, you know, be like, oh, man, if you feel like it, you got to be bold with confidence but also with reverence. Amen? So we got to do that with grace. We get God's grace so that we can do that. And so here's the point. Knowledge, you know, when you read the Bible, knowledge can increase grace because you understand how things work. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You know, bless you. We all want, like, an abundance. Or like we would say, we were all like, how many of you like choke grace? Yeah, I mean, oh, yeah. We all want an abundance of God's grace and his peace. But are we willing to read and put in the effort to read, study the Bible and prayer to understand and to enjoy God, the privileges God offers to us freely? So we must grow in knowledge of our God and Jesus our Lord. Okay, so there's a balance here. We got to balance legalism and grace. We got to understand, when we can understand the cost of our sin. Like every time I hear that song that John sang the other month about red letters, you know, it was my voice yelling crucify. It's my sin that put him on the cross. You know, when I understand the cost of my sin, and I choose not to take God's grace for granted, because we can take it for granted. You know what? The more I sin, the more grace can fall upon me, right? If you think about it, you know, the more I go off course and the more I be bad, the more grace would fall upon me. And that's, if you read the Bible, that's not what we're supposed to do. That's what you call taking God's grace for granted. But when we fully understand Jesus' sacrifice and his love, we begin to cherish our relationship with him above all else. I mean, cherish. You know what? We cherish God's relationship. We love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. We hate sin. We crave a closer relationship with him. And that's what knowledge of God and what he does can do for us. As we grow in our relationship with Christ, we understand that he truly cares for us. You know, sometimes things may not go our way, but if we had everything our way, would we even be here now? If we had everything our way, most of you would be billionaires, right? Driving nice cars, nice houses. No need for something like this. I got it. I done it. I'm on my own. I'm well off. But sometimes the hard stuff, man, how can we deal with that? You know, why? And it's all God because he loves us. He puts us, he lets these things come to us Because tell you the truth, if I never faced hardship, I wouldn't be here. It was in my breaking moment that I cried out to God. And he had to break me down to I was ready down on the ground, ready to just take it all and end it all. So he could kind of, okay, now that I got you in that submissive spot where you're lower than the cockroaches on the ground, now, Shiroma, I can build you back up and I can model you with the clay like how I want you to be. But I had to be broken first. So sometimes if we really hard-headed, really stubborn, you know, he breaks us down so he can build us back up into his image. So when we grow in our relationship with Christ, we understand how much he loves us. You know, that's why James, first off, count it all joy when you have these trials. Because, you know, if you're young and you face trials, you might not understand. But if you're mature, you understand that trials draw you closer to God. It can if you let it. Okay? So instead of living in terror of God, we become children of the King, and we begin to understand what he wants and how we get into his throne room where grace showers all who come into God's presence. Amen? So I want grace. How do I get grace? Number two, I believe you plant grace, you harvest grace. Galatians 6:7, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians. Galatians, and if you get your app, just type in G-A-L, 6, Galatians 6:7. Paul is writing to the church at Galatia. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever, just think about that word, whatever, not the kind of like, hey, whatever, but whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Whatever, I think that word whatever is like, wow. Whatever is such, like, so broad, so wide. Whatever he sows. I sow aggravation when I drive. I guess what I reap? Peace? Happiness? Yeah. I mean, you know what? You don't plant corn and get tomatoes or pumpkin, right? If that happened, we would be scratching our head. It's like, what? So, if I read his word and I was smart enough to apply it, which sometimes I am not, I would sow grace when I drive. Why? So I receive grace when I drive. Oh, so simple, yeah? So simple. Why is it so hard? Whatever a man sows, this will he reap. You sow generosity, you sow kindness. I mean, whatever covers a lot of things. You sow grace, you sow peace, you sow kindness. What do you think you're going to get? Grace, peace, and kindness. It's like I think this thing, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, he will also reap. I think it's almost like the law of gravity. It's there. You just might not be able to see it, but it's so true. Every action has a result. You plan to please your own desires, man, you probably sow a crop of evil. You harvest a crop of evil and sorrow. You plan to please God, your harvest to be joy, everlasting life. Whew, what are we planting? Are we planting grace with your family, with your children? Man, you know, when I started really getting into the Word and started learning about God, and I was doing stuff and, you know, fixing up my house. I just finished putting ceramic tile on my kitchen floor, and a week later, I see one that's already cracked. Oh, man. somebody going to drop either one, canned good or, you know, the end of the butter knife. And I was like, oh, man, I just want to change this tile and I just want to put brand new floor. And I mean, if you ever lay tile, it's not easy. It's work. You sweat. And I was like, oh, man. You know, I wanted to rip into somebody. I don't know. But, you know, to this day, nobody did it. You get plenty nobodies in your house. Because I get plenty nobodies in my house. Nobody admitted to it. Maybe they was afraid that I... They probably was afraid because before, Scott was no Grace Scott. Like, rip you, shred you. You know how hard work it is? And, man, I regret those days because that's when... In Galatians, you know, it talks about the deeds of the flesh, the outbursts of anger. And I don't blame them for not owning up to it because of what I would did, what I would do. So now when stuff like that happen, that's all right. Except for when the dog eat my cabinets, then sorry, no grace. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we gotta sow grace so we can harvest grace. Right? Whatever. We sow, we reap. Whatever, just think about whatever I sow, I reap. Whew. That's in Galatians 6:7. You might want to highlight that in your Bible and come to that every time you think of what am I sowing? 2 Corinthians 9:6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, the same principle, but in an abundant way. Are you extra graceful? Are you sowing it abundantly? Maybe beyond your wife and your children, maybe to your neighbor's neighbors, maybe to people you see in the store. You know, when I go shopping and it's raining, I always see people like standing under the eaves waiting for the rain to stop. And I say, hey, you let me take your groceries to your car. And they look at me like, nah, I don't think I can trust that guy. So this is what happened a few weeks ago. I was at Long's, seen my wife's auntie and my uncle. They was outside talking story to three lovely old Japanese ladies, and they said they needed directions to a grocery store. They wanted to buy fruit. So I told them, follow me, I'll take you to KT across the street. Then they said, oh, we don't have a car. They said, I'll take you over there. They look at me like, so this is my auntie and my uncle. So my auntie and my uncle kind of went talk to them in Japanese. Said, that's my nephew, he's okay, he's safe. He's not gonna take you to corner or kidnap you. So this, you sure? So they hopped in my car and I took them to KTA and wait for them to buy their fruit and I brought them back because that's where they got their taxi. And they told me when I dropped them off, so I just was sowing grace because I want to receive grace. And they said, when I dropped them off, said, oh, thank you. And I think that's the only English word they knew. Yeah. And they said, we don't have any money to give you. So I don't want any money. I just want it for, you know, extend grace. So I said, we're going to pray for you. It's like, uh-oh, here comes this Buddhist chant prayer. And I was like, oh, no, what did they do? So they sing a prayer for me. And then she writes these words on a paper, and then she gives it to me. So I come back to my office. I look it up, and it is a Japanese Christian church in Japan. And they prayed for me by singing. And I was like, wow, how cool is that? I received tenfold grace back. I was like, wow. So are you sowing grace abundantly? Or you know, like, if you plant 2 corn seeds, what you going to get? 2 corn stalks, maybe 5 or 6 corn. But if you plant 10, 20, 30, wow, that's how much you're going to get back. So sow it abundantly. And number 3, we get grace by faith, not works. We get it by faith, not by, like I said, not by doing stuff, but doing stuff is good because if none of us did stuff, we wouldn't have worship, we wouldn't have food, we wouldn't have greeters. Galatians again, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Okay? So they're talking about circumcision. There was having a, it was a circumcision was a symbol of kind of like having the right background, doing everything required by religion, trying to keep the law, and you know, no amount of work, no amount of discipline, moral behavior can save us. You know, if we were counting on finding favor with God by being circumcised, then we would have to keep and obey the rest of God's 600 something laws completely. No way. So that would be like trying to save ourselves by keeping all God's laws, which pretty much doesn't. God is love, and his love for you and I is not conditional. It is unconditional. It's not like if I do something wrong, he's going to love me less. He still loves me the same amount. And even if I don't deserve his love, God gives it freely, his grace. Many times when we need God the most, if I don't know if you've been there, maybe you know you're in a desperate situation and you think you need God the most. You feel like we're not accepted or he's not there. And that is the furthest thing from the truth. I think that's the devil. He makes us feel like that. When we fall flat on our face due to sin, God does not like. You know how we do that with our loved ones when they mess up and we give them the silent treatment? Yeah. God is not like that. He's like this. Come. He opens his arms. He beckons to us to repent and come to him. You know, when we sin and we fall flat on our face and we think that we cannot come to God, that's the devil. Kill, steal, destroy. He's trying to get us farther away. We cannot fall for that trap. We need to understand the principle concerning grace. It is not currency we carry around in our pockets, spending it whenever we sin. But the grace of God is precious, and it's impossible to earn God's grace. As fallen human beings, we certainly do not deserve his mercy, yet, man, he opens the window of heaven and pours out his grace on us. Christ did not die on the cross so that we can take sin lightly or flaunt our freedoms without consequences. He also did not die in order to give us a constricting, rigid life. That's like two extremes. As we grow in intimacy with God, we hear his voice, we obey him, and we trust him. Through every trial, through every tribulation, through every victory, through every valley, Jesus was in perfect communion with God. He listened for the voice of his Father and responded appropriately. Now, everything like that, every trial, tribulation, victory, valley, we just got to listen for his voice. And sometimes we just got to wait, because God's grace is enough. God's grace will sustain us. Sometimes when we got to wait on God, man, that is like the longest moment of like, oh, come on. On Friday, I was in a right-hand turn to go into shipment. And I was waiting and waiting. There's police and fire and like, come on, just turn right and go. What's the problem? I'm like the third car in line. I'm trying to get to my office. It's lunchtime. I'm hungry. And I'm stuck. It's like, what is going on? I couldn't wait. Finally, I was so fed up. I just merged into my left lane, and I went home, and I went to eat lunch. Found out there's a big propane tank leak. You remember? You heard about that? A lot of you was texting me, are you all right? Are you all right? I was going to text you back to know I'm blowing up, but I never like do that. That would have been bocce, so no. So I text my wife and my kids. I'm all right. They was oblivious to what was going on. I never got anything back. Yeah, they was like, they must be thinking like, why is he texting me? I'm all right. Yeah, they didn't know. And still never respond. I had to tell my wife what happened. Oh, that's why you wouldn't send me that. I'm all right. Man, yeah, so sometimes we gotta wait. Okay, when you're waiting, don't worry about it. Just wait patiently. Sometimes we're not. Sometimes I'm not. Because sometimes we just want to see His glory here and now. Yet God is at work. He's preparing us for eternity with Him. Grace sustains us as we wait. He prepares us. He prepares the way. So here's it. May all praise and glory be given to God for His amazing grace. Amen. You put your notes away, close your Bibles. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Man, because it is important for us to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. And I know sometimes, you know, local style, oh, shame, I don't like pray with you guys. I don't like raise my hand. That's why he asked if you would bow your heads and close your eyes and pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? No, God bless you back there. Anybody else? Anybody else? Lord, you have seen the hands. Mm-hmm. And they said, yes. They have the same amount of grace as I do. Nothing more, nothing less. Thank you for showering your grace upon them. Bless them, Lord. I pray that you would use this fellowship to help them grow in grace. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand? Are we going to sing? If you said yes to the Lord, hey, on that table, the greeting table, there's a yes booklet. Grab one of those. It's just information to help your walk with the Lord. But let's stand. Let's worship the Lord. Kahel, you ran away from home. Man, I did the same thing. My goodness. Oh, but I was bad. But you came to Christ early. Took me till I was 37 years old. So you are smart. Man, rascal, you.
Listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.